Just to go back a moment about telemedicine pre-pandemic in our health plan, which, by the way, serves Medicaid members, so we're talking about children and pregnant mothers. Pre-pandemic, we had very little uptake in terms of telemedicine, but the first month post-pandemic, our visits increased 300%, and it has stabilized at that level until even today, and we anticipate that it's here to stay. We did look at the number, what the top five diagnoses were, and they were all behavioral health related. So looking at ADD, major depressive disorders, anxiety, PTSD, and so forth. So what we're beginning to see now is an uptake in office visits. So we've always wondered, is there, you know, has there been pent-up demand? And we believe that this is a signal that there probably has been pent-up demand, and now we'll have two pathways for individuals to seek care.
All right, awesome. So, you know, there was, as I said, there was increased funding. There were some loosening of requirements during COVID for the payment of telehealth and a lot of other things. And so, of course, going forward, one of the things that we'll need to look for is what happens to all of these changes in funding and changes in requirements once the PHE ends. And that goes for payments by the government as well as payments by the health plans. Will those continue or not?
So just to add to that, what is occurring in Texas is that the PHE is ending, I believe, in July, and most other states in the country are allowing a one-year period to re-enroll these Medicaid members. Texas and Pennsylvania are going to allow a six-month period. So if you'll recall, early in the pandemic, we added a lot of individuals to the Medicaid rolls in Texas. And once they were enrolled, then they stayed enrolled throughout the pandemic. So here's how this is going to work. In August, there's three tranches that we'll be working with. And in August, the first tranche will roll off about 800,000 members who will age out of Medicaid or they've extended their benefit past their qualification. So these are pregnant mothers who are now 6 months postpartum. Those individuals will roll off. The second group will roll off in September, and those are individuals that really may migrate between plans. So you have Medicaid, you had CHIP, but you have other plans as well, and that's about 200,000 members. Then between October and January, the remaining 1.8 million members will have to be redetermined for their qualification in Medicaid. So it's been a concern from a state perspective, and it's a concern from a managed care perspective as well. Do we have enough staff to be able to accommodate that big enrollment period for such a short time frame? One of the efforts that the state is looking at or has agreed to do is to certify the managed care groups to be Tier 3 community partners, which will allow us to help re-enroll these members or recertify these members for care. I don't know if you've ever gone through one of these processes, but it's like filling out a home loan application. So it's quite difficult and just not easy or intuitive for people to follow. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to get through this and still keep members covered.
Good deal. So I would say that one way in which you can help your clients be prepared for the end of the PHE is to understand what waivers they've been operating under, what they've actually implemented, and what may need to change as they go forward in order to continue to get reimbursed or to recognize that they're not going to continue to get reimbursed under certain waivers. So this is my little addition here to add about what I've been seeing. I do a lot of managed care litigation, and particularly here in Texas, what I've seen in the last year or 2 years is that the health plans have, for certain services such as radiology, ED services, anesthesiology, is that they have tremendously cut reimbursement. and they've cut reimbursement unilaterally, and to a degree, it has been fairly catastrophic for the providers. And the providers are now considering that to be basically a termination of a contract, to say you cut it, you know, reimbursement 80%. That's basically a termination. And so, you know, there have been continued pressures, particularly during COVID, on the profit margins and expenses. And Mary Ann will tell more about some of the expenses related to staffing and other things. You know, and there's been lots of shifts in the type of care given. And, you know, that's going to maybe change once the PHE is over. But that has created even additional strains between the payers and the providers. And as Yvonne said, this is nothing new. This is just the latest strain in which I've been seeing. So there's, you know, a continued shift in the payer mixes. Nobody's quite sure who is going to be coming to the hospital, who's going to be coming in for physician services post the pandemic.